Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started.
Well, it is season 3 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. And today's challenge, it's dealing with weight shame.
Yeah, and there's a lot of shame we feel. In fact, that's probably why a lot of people go on a diet, because we're made to feel so shameful about how we look. Or even when we go on a diet, if we don't follow it perfectly, we feel all this shame about it. And maybe that drives us to do the diet in the first place, but it's not something that's going to help us be successful. In fact, the shame and the guilt and the like feeling like you have no value is going to really stand in your way. Don't you think, Stephanie?
I do. And I always think it's ironic when people, like when I was younger, I would have relatives tell me, Stephanie, you have a weight problem. You need to go on a diet. And I'm like, do you not think I know that? Like, yeah. I always felt so embarrassed. And I think that these relatives, you know, they thought if I felt ashamed, it would motivate me. They thought it would, you know, make me be successful, but it did not work. I left feeling horrible and I was never successful. I never became a better person when someone made me feel embarrassed like that. Yeah. So it just doesn't work. Shame does not work as a means to lose weight or be successful in any way.
No, it doesn't. People think it does, but you're right, it doesn't. And that's why weight loss isn't just a food plan. If it were that easy, oh, I just follow this step A and B, a lot of us would be really successful about it. So there's more to it. And the more to it, at least I think, and I think you agree, Stephanie, is that it's tackling the shame piece, like getting over that. So today we have 8 strategies for getting rid of the weight shame so that you can feel better and stick to your health goals.
Well, the first one is so surprising. And as a fan of Brené Brown, I hope I said her name right, Tamara.
Yeah.
But I know that you love her writing. And that was what I got from her too. She says to share your shame. She says, shed light on it, like pull it out of the darkness and expose it, share it.
Yeah. And that's the opposite of what you want to do, right? Like when you, like, I know with my body, I just want to hide it. I want to get in the background. I notice I don't want to get in pick photographs. So I will literally hide when there's a photograph, or, you know, not post a selfie because I'm just so ashamed of how it looks. And, or even just hiding in the sense of not speaking up, like, you know what I mean?
I do.
And so it feels like really scary. This first piece of advice, it feels scary. It's like, oh, go ahead and reveal your shame. Like, dang it.
Like, go ahead and talk about it. And it's always so funny because it's like, really? Do you think I have a weight problem? You know what I mean? Like when people tell you that, or a doctor or some parent or grandparent, you know, they try to expose you like, hey, you've got something going on. I always feel like, really? Do you not think, you know what I mean? Like, I can't get over that part because it's so shameful. But really, by talking about it and by sharing your shame with other people, or finding someone else who's dealing with the same thing and kind of talking about those issues and not running from it. It's the first step to healing.
And you don't have to be huge about it the first time. Like, you don't have to go in front of an audience of 100 and say, I'm so, you know, I have this shame I'm dealing with. You can start with a best friend. You can even write it in a diary. Just that's a way to shed light on it. Just be, you know, to yourself, say, I'm feeling shame. Or like I said, or you can be anonymous in our Facebook group, support group, or other groups, and talk about these, you know, hard feelings and how, you know, how that shame gets in the way, but get it out. So it doesn't have to be so scary if you do it that way.
Yeah. And it can be a therapist. It could be someone more professional or anonymous, like you said, but just putting a name to it and saying, you know what, I feel like really embarrassed about this problem. And it's something that I'm terrified to face. And it's been a struggle for me. And just saying that out loud or writing it down, it really releases, you know, a lot of the emotion.
Yeah, it does. I know you've been really vulnerable. Like you talked, a story you talk a lot about is the seatbelt incident in the airplane and how you couldn't, you were too embarrassed and ashamed to ask for the extender, you know, back when you were 140 pounds heavier. And that shame, that's just an example of how by not dealing with the shame part, you put yourself in at a risky situation. So
and I think I was in denial too. I mean, for so long, I thought, oh, there's no problem with my weight. You know, my relatives are all wrong. Doctors all wrong. I'm healthy. Mm. No big deal. But then all of a sudden it's like slaps you in the face and you're faced with a moment like a rock bottom and then you can't do anything about it because you feel so ashamed.
Yeah.
So that's our step one, you know, stop, you know, and step two, we're kind of moving into step two.
Yeah.
Stop hiding, right? Like stop hiding.
Yeah. So
it's not going to make it better.
No, do things to put yourself out there. Like, you know, we talked about, talk about the shame, but then maybe try doing something. So I know for me, wearing more revealing clothing is sometimes hard. I still struggle with that, but if you do it in a little way, like I started out small, like just running an errand with sleeveless shirt, like mortified me, but I did it. And then I felt a little bit more comfortable and you just keep doing it little steps, coming out of hiding. And pretty soon, like, you're like, oh, I can't believe I was so worried about that. It wasn't that big a deal.
I was thinking a lot about this today, obviously, where I was getting dressed. I'm not wearing a towel. But I was thinking about this because, you know, clothing in the colors that we choose, the style that we choose, where we sit in an audience, you know, how we participate in discussions, it reveals a lot about how we're hiding. Don't you think it can be indicative of where and how you feel about yourself?
Yeah, I get that from students a lot and it stops them from learning, you know, because they're not putting themselves out there. They like, I'll ask for comments and they literally cringe and hide in their seat, you know, but I know, but it's robbing their own self of a really good learning opportunity. So yeah, put yourself out there, come out of hiding and, you know, start small.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like all in at once. It's like little baby steps build confidence. I can't tell you how many Christmas cards I get every year from family and friends where the woman is not in the card. I don't know. Does that happen to you?
I know.
But the women are like, oh, I'm not comfortable with the way I look. So therefore I'm not in the card. I'll just send a picture of my kids or, you know, something else. But it's very upsetting. And that's reflective.
Yes.
And little steps, it doesn't have to be the Christmas card all at once. It can be, you know, wearing a short sleeve shirt to do errands, like you said, and build that confidence to feel less shameful about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, my, this year's Christmas card was of my dog. And you know what? That COVID extra pounds. I'm like, I'm not taking a photo. I mean, I'm totally guilty.
Hey, I'm with you. I have many years where my two kids were the center of the Christmas card and I didn't exist. Yeah. And that wasn't just a Christmas card. I mean, I have decades where I shouldn't say decades, but because my kids aren't that old, but there was years upon years where I'm not in the photo albums. I'm not there. It's like, I wasn't on the vacation with them.
Yeah.
It's like, where was I? I don't know.
Yeah.
No family movies, none of that.
Wow. And you're not alone. And that leads us to number three is to get to know your inner bully. Like there's that inner critic that keeps telling you, no, I don't look good. Or, you know, you're too fat for that. Or comparing yourself to other people. And the way to ease that is to, I think, to give it a name, like, or at least identify it. Just say, oh, that's my inner bully talking. I give mine a name. I think I've mentioned it before.
It's Kitty. Like, I know that one. I know that one.
I know, huh? Like, yeah, it's like a cat because cats are judgy. I see them as like, you can tell I'm a dog person. So mine is Kitty, but I'll just say, you know, that's my kitty in my ear, you know, judging me. And just don't be judgy even about being judgy. Just hear it and just say, okay, that's what that is, you know, and let's just try to set it aside. I don't know. It's just a technique for just helping you recognize that it's not you. It's this negative part of you that you can actually do something about. You don't have to listen to it.
Yeah. And you can be silly and fun with it by calling it a name, or you can just say, hey, you know, I'm pulling up to the gym and I'm seeing all the other people walking inside.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that negative self-talk starts and you can say, hey, why am, you know, call yourself out, like, yeah, hey, why am I doing that to myself?
Yeah.
Just because I'm this age or this gender or, you know, yeah, in this part of my life doesn't mean I can't go in there and exercise as well. So yeah, yeah, calling yourself out, you know, stopping it in its tracks and just saying, hey, that's both, you know, BS. Stop
yes.
that, Stephanie.
Yes. And I think it, I don't know if it was Brené Brown who said it, but if you wouldn't say that to your girlfriend, like if your girlfriend was in the car dreading going into the gym, you wouldn't say to her, oh yeah, you might stand out and oh, you know, you look too big or you're going to look out of shape. No, you'd be like, girl, you can do this. You're great. You know, so you have to talk to yourself like you would a, you know, a girlfriend.
Or your child. I mean, sometimes putting in that perspective can make a big difference. Think about, I personally like to think about like the way family treated me when I was younger and kind of like they were a bully in a way with the comments they would make. And then I think, I don't want to do that to my kids.
Yeah.
I want to stop that cycle. So, you know, identifying that shame or those kind of shameful thoughts that I might have toward myself, I have to say, hey, I'm going to stop that conversation in its tracks because I don't want to feel ashamed of myself no matter what I'm trying to do. And I don't want my kids either. So I have to stop that cycle right now.
Yeah. That's a good way to picture it. Like talking to your kids. Number four is to actually show your body kindness because just talking, you know, talking to your inner critic is one thing, but to actually do something to your body that treats it like it's valuable, like it's wonderful, like it's important, helps mentally you know, get the idea that you are worthy. So for me, that's self-care. It's like saying I deserve nicer clothes or quality food, you know, things like that, that spend a little extra on that. Or
I remember my husband was always getting his clothes dry cleaned for work. And I would never do that. I know that sounds so embarrassing, but I would be like, oh my gosh, you know, $2.50 to wash this dress at the dry cleaner. We go to a really cheap dry cleaner, obviously. But I'd be like, oh, I can't do that. And I would just wear these clothes that had like a stain or a hem that was run out, or I just wouldn't even care for the way my clothing looked necessarily.
Yeah.
It made me think of that point that you just made about showing your body kindness. Because the way you look sometimes reflects how the way you feel.
It does. It does. Yeah. And all the clothes, like for me, the outside I'm fine, but like the bras and underwear are to me like a telltale sign of
secret window into your soul.
Yeah. My bras are looking all ratty. In fact, and by the way, I bought a new bra lately because we had done that bra episode and it made me look at my bras. And I'm like, I think I need to like treat my body like it deserves, like a good supportive bra. So
I'm that way. I know this is like revealing, but I'm that way. I mentioned on the show about like showering. I'll be like, oh, I don't need to shower. Yeah. I showered yesterday. And that's so weird. Like, why do I do that? And then I'm serious. Like, I'll be like, oh, I have to get to work. I have so much to do.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I'm fine. And then I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, here I am all stinky. What am I thinking? And it's like, I need to show my body kindness and take time to slow down, cut out maybe some other responsibilities and just care for my hair and my teeth and makeup or whatever it is that makes me feel kind to my body, a pedicure. These are things that are normal, right? Like, why would I skip that?
I think we just get in that rut of everything comes before us.
Yeah, that's it.
Family, work.
Yeah. And it's part of the shame of feeling like your body or your health isn't worth enough to like tell other people, make your own breakfast. I have to, you know, chop up celery because I'm jumping in the car. Little things like that. You're showing your body kindness with making food for yourself or doing little acts of self-care. It puts your priorities first.
Yeah. Well, we're halfway through our strategies. We've got four and there's four more to go, but I think now's a great time for a quick break.
Well, folks, if you are struggling with negative self-talk, and that's basically what we're chatting about today, weight shaming is something that I really focused on in the Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started, Losing Weight While Breaking All the Rules. This was my very vulnerable story of how I lost 140 pounds. But if you have a copy of this at home, I recommend you flip over to the section that's specifically about self-sabotage. And there's a lot more tips here about coaching and resources to help you. And I recommend you start at page 144, and there's a section called Hello, the Voice Inside Your Head. which is meant to be kind of fun. That way it's not scary to really think about and talk about.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, we're going to get back to our strategies. And the fifth one is to get back on the horse.
Get back on that horse. Because we all mess up, Tamara. We all do. It doesn't matter. I mean, here I am 140 pounds later, and I'm telling you once in a while, I'm telling myself I don't have time to take a dang shower. Like, really? Like, we have to stop that spiral and say, hey, I'm worth it. I'm important. No more shame. I'm a valuable human being. My body and my health are important. And I'm going to get back on it and just start taking care of myself right this second. Not tomorrow.
Yeah. I've noticed that that's a lot. It messes a lot of people up. They'll make some mistakes like in their dieting or the way that, or their exercise. And they would have been fine if they would have just did a small correction. Yeah. And they don't. And that's honestly where a lot of failure happens, is just not accepting that you're going to fail a few times and you just got to, you know, scoop things up and get back on the horse. I mean, I applied this to graduate school. I'll just say in graduate school, the people that got their PhD in my program weren't necessarily the smartest. You know who it was? It was the people who got back on the horse. It was the people who would flop and fail or get a bad grade on this or didn't meet this goal. And they just got back and, you know, tried again and tried again. And those were actually the people who ended up being the most successful.
I'd say that is true for life, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Understanding that failure is our biggest teacher. It's normal to fall down and it's expected. Yeah. Like, it's normal. I think that that is the biggest hurdle for everyone dealing with shame, especially surrounding their body or weight loss, is like you said, they feel like I can't mess up. I have to be perfect. Yeah. And that's not realistic.
No, nope. And if you're having trouble, you know, getting over it, fake it till you make it, right? That's our number six, is fake body gratitude if you have to.
I do that one, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
I totally do.
There are days where I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I look terrible. And then I have to say to myself, no, fake something more positive. Say, you look great, Tamara. And, you know, I may not feel it the first time or two I say it, but it's important to fake it and to just start doing it, because the feelings do follow.
They really do. And I've had a lot of friends who will like spend a lot of time or money or energy on things about themselves that they love. Like, they'll buy fancy shoes or big high heels, or they'll always have their nails done or big fancy rings. And I'm like, what's the deal with that? Like, why are you so interested? And I'm curious. And they're like, I have beautiful hands, or I have beautiful feet. And they'll just celebrate that. But it works. It works. If you find something about your body, your hair, your makeup, whatever it is that you really love about something on the outward, it really is infectious and stimulates a lot of positive feelings about the rest of you.
Yeah, it does. And that's why too, also on a side note, I always compliment people, even to strangers, because I feel like I need that too, you know? And it's really nice when a stranger notices your really cute nails. I'm like, and they're like, oh, thank you.
It kind of makes them say something back. Do you notice? Like, especially friends, you're like, ooh, I love that necklace today, Tamara. And then your friends will say something nice back.
Yeah.
Girlfriends are good like that.
Yeah. Like, creating a positive environment. And that sort of leads us to our number seven, is about the environments you're in. And we suggest to take a break, especially from those environments where they may not have a lot of positivity and compliments and you feel negative. Social media is probably the biggest one. You know, if you're looking through your Instagram and you're just going, and you feel so inadequate, either don't follow those groups or just turn it off. It's amazing how that can put your mood like way down. There's a lot of research, by the way, that supports that people who spend a lot of time on that kind of media, it does start to affect your self-esteem.
Absolutely. And it can be, you know, beyond social media as well. Like, I know for me at work, I had found myself in a rut of sitting with a certain group of people, like at lunchtime, that were always eating kind of unhealthy food and talking unhealthily about themselves and putting themselves down. And I physically had to get up and find a new group of friends who I didn't necessarily know in order to find more positivity in my life and more support. And then I wouldn't feel so weird about, you know, eating three cucumbers in a row at lunch, which I do. And I have it right here. I didn't get to finish. So I was like, oh, I'm bringing them on stage for the big podcast. But really, I needed other people that would see the world the way I saw it. And so I had to find some new friends.
And that's why the DLK group, I mean, that's why you started. And that's why it's so important to join groups like that, because eating those cucumbers is not weird in the DLK world. It's like applauded.
Well, you need those people. Like, you know, I talk about them facetiously a lot in the DLK Get Started. You know, when I was younger, and I don't think this made it in the book, I think I got cut out. But when I was younger at college, I was in Santa Barbara and I showed up from Michigan. I was like close to 300 pounds. I was really out of sorts, you know, with flannels and men's shorts on. And I'm looking around and all the girls around me, I used to call them nipple heads, which is a horrible expression, but they all had their hair in a messy bun on top of their head. And they were always going to the gym. And I just didn't understand them. Yeah. Like, I hated them. I resented them. I thought they were fake, shallow people, but really I just didn't get it. Like, I just didn't understand that they were interested in their health or, you know, making positive changes or being active. I didn't understand, but I've had to learn how to understand. And I think I had to break free from the people who are negative and the body shamers and the negative family and the negative media sources and embrace who, you know, a positive sense of self.
Yeah. Yeah. So get with the right groups.
Yeah. Get with the nipple heads.
We used to call them Santa Barbies.
Well, call it what you want, but you know what? They might be onto something.
Right.
Who knew?
Okay. You knew. Our last tip is to refocus. And we're saying put less focus on, you know, your lifestyle as a means for getting rid of your quote unquote ugly body or your, you know, those negative things. So it puts dieting, it puts health, puts exercise in this really negative frame. Oh, I have to get rid of my horrible self. Like, that's not the focus. Should be how it's going to make you better. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you healthier and live longer. Like, those are the positive things, you know, you should focus on.
I definitely can agree with you. I mean, what motivated me more than a number on the scale in terms of dealing with body shame was thinking about the first time I was able to get out of the shower and wrap a towel all the way around myself, which for like skinny people out there listening, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But I had a lifetime of bath towels that didn't fit where, I mean, I'd see the TV shows where the women get out of the shower with like a towel on their head and a cute little towel wrapped around and tucked in the under the arm. And I couldn't do that like for decades. Mm-hmm. So the day I could do that, that to me was something I really focused on. Like, look how awesome my body is where I can wrap a towel, you know, like little non-scale victories like that. Another one was the first time I sat in my husband's lap and I had never done that. Like, I'll just be honest. It had never happened. And the first day I did that and he thought it was cute and flirty and like kind of grabbed me and hugged me, I felt more alive inside than I had ever. I mean, it was I'm going to start crying, but it was like mind blowing. That's what eating healthy and getting rid of the body shame for me was about, is successful habits like that, where it was a moment of clarity. Like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is it.
And focus on those things. I mean, those bring you joy in life. And so, And it's just another reminder to just stay away from the negative and keep focus on all those wonderful things you get to do with your body.
True.
Well, I'm curious what strategies our listeners use to combat weight shame. Email us at Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or leave a comment on YouTube. If your comment is read on air during season 3, contact Stephanie to receive a prize. So now before we get to our final hacks, let's take a quick break.
Well, I want to circle back to number 5, Tamara. We had talked about getting back on that horse, because I don't feel like we give enough attention to this topic, you know, when we're talking about weight shame and body image. But in chapter 8 of Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started, it's called the Plan to Fail chapter. And bad things happen, folks. It's part of life. And I think that was maybe one of the keys to my success with being able to keep my weight off this long, is I made a plan and I knew what to do when really horrible things would happen in my life. And then I stuck to that plan. So that helped me a lot. And I hope that that advice can also help you. So check out Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started.
Stephanie, Let's wrap it up today by sharing our favorite hacks for combating weight shame. And I will go first. My hack is to recognize the source. This is, I'll just say, the sociologist in me coming out. Because as a sociologist, we learn that a lot of those negative messages, a lot of that body shame comes from the culture. Our culture sends horrible messages to us. And they do it because it sells products. I mean, the antiperspirant company needs to make you feel like you stink because that will cause you to buy their products. And same with all these diet products. So to me, that's helpful to know that the body shame, where it's coming from, some of it's coming from inside, but that's triggered by these outside messages. So knowing that it's outside there, then that helps in facing it.
Preach, Professor Tamara.
Yeah.
Well, what helped me the most for overcoming my weight shame, it can best be described in the book that I keep focusing on today. This is Durley's Keto Get Started. And it's on page 144. And I kept trying to think of a way to put it. And I'm like, well, I already wrote it here. So I'm just going to read what I feel like, you know, it says it in a better way than me yammering. Yeah. So it's on page 144. And I just want to read these couple of sentences. It says, making consistent, healthy decisions is like climbing a set of stairs. Each good decision is a step that builds upon the last. Celebrating your achievements, no matter how small or inconsequential they may seem at the time, it helps keep you motivated in the right direction. Incremental celebrations build your confidence and overall feelings of self-worth, giving you the courage to ascend even higher to your goal.
Wow. I feel like that's a really good big message.
Well, thank you.
Yes. But I would add to that, you know, we just live in this culture that makes us feel like if we don't have the perfect body, we should feel ashamed. Or if we're not perfect on our diet, we should feel ashamed. And this shame doesn't help us lose weight. So that's why we try to give you plenty of tips to, you know, get rid of that shame, acknowledge it, but then try some of the strategies to overcome it. And we know it's not easy. It's not. It's taken us, I'm still working at it. It's taken Stephanie a long time to get to where she is. But just take those little steps like Stephanie recommended, because we believe in you and we see the beauty in you. Now you just have to see it yourself.
That's it. Well, listeners, just keep up the great work. We're so proud of you. And we love hearing your response to our podcast episodes, your comments and reviews. And in fact, I have one to share that a listener wrote. And this is from our episode number 26 of season 3, where Tamara and I recommended 12 must-read self-help books to help you with motivation. And these were life-changing inspirational books that we both recommended. And this is what our listener and reader wrote. This is Wanda Lewis. Wanda says, thank y'all for this podcast. I've read a couple of these books, and it's amazing how blessed and fortunate I feel when reading stories of determination and triumph. Thank you both for being so honest and real.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit dirtylazyketo.com. See you next week.